Father, we just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives. Lord, we love you so much. We're so thankful for your truth, for your overcoming power to heal us and deliver us, and that you paid the price for everything so we can walk in wholeness and freedom. Lord, we're asking you to show us the way. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to quicken us today and give us wisdom on how to understand the times we're in and the seasons we're in. And Lord, we just pray that this morning's session glorifies you.
I just want to start this morning with this prayer. This is what Paul prayed for the believers. Since we're the believers, this is what we receive, Lord.
Oh, good.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. This is in Ephesians 1, and I'm going to start in verse 15. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, if you haven't heard this one. Because of this, since I first heard about the strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your tender love towards all his devoted ones, my heart is always full and overflowing with thanks to God for you as I constantly remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of his glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. That's Ephesians 1. I started in 15, but that last one, I'm just going to pray it again. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritance that he finds in us, his holy ones. Father, we know that's your desire. That's your heart desire for us today and every day. And you're always drawing us near. You're always drawing us closer. You're always drawing us to you. Father, I pray as we talked this morning, as we look into dreams, as we look into visions, that our eyes would be illuminated to see what you have for us, to see that you're always talking, you're always drawing us, you're always wooing us into deeper places in you, that we may enter in, Lord, to everything that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. You know, dreams are for everyone, visions. You know, so when we talk about dreams this morning, we're going to talk about dreams, but we're including visions because sometimes you can start to fall asleep at night and you might be between sleep and awake and you might have a little picture, a little vision, or even when you wake in the morning, you might have something or hear something like, you know, when I was saying that and when I was so worried about how we were going to have provision, I heard, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And when I heard that, the word penetrates into our souls and that fear left. It was like the word is so much stronger than the emotion that I had, the swirling, the craziness in my head. The word just went in and I watched it take place over time, and I'm still standing on that word today. Because we don't know what tomorrow brings, right? So when we have the word in us, that is the way that we interpret what the Lord is showing us in pictures and dreams. The word is the key for the revelation that he's bringing. You know, books are helpful for dream interpretation, and we do use books sometimes because it can direct us to scripture when we're really stuck. But the word in us is actually the way to hear from the Holy Spirit. So this morning we're going to just practice a little bit. I'm going to just go over a couple things before we do. But we're going to practice, and you know what? The Lord's going to bring scriptures to mind when you hear dreams. And that's really the way, because he will surprise you in how he tells you what the interpretation, because he's the interpreter. I'm not the interpreter. His spirit, his Holy Spirit. Joseph said to Pharaoh, he said, the Lord is the one who interprets the dreams. Because, you know, the guys in the jail or the prison, you know, who told them the dreams and forgot who the, you know, Holy Spirit was, when, you know, he said, remember to tell Pharaoh. And they didn't remember. But that was okay, because God was working on him. The whole time he was working on him in that place. So we depend on the Holy Spirit. I was, you know, the Lord reminds me, ask him first. In everything, ask him first. Before you go to a book, you can open the scripture. That's the book you open first. Ask him. When you have a dream, you write it down, you journal it, date it, and you don't have to come up with any prejudgments. I'm just going to go over a few ways the Lord will speak to us in dreams, because so many of us have been taught nightmares are from the devil. Can the devil create anything? Huh? Oh, bless you. Amen. No, he can't create anything. He's a copycat. He distorts, he accuses, he does all that. So when we have a dream, you know, and sometimes we'll have one that is actually like kind of shocks us, like, you know, what did I just see? So we don't want to go into judging it right away or saying, oh, it was a nightmare, it's from the devil, because the Lord can use even emotions and does use emotion in our dream to awaken us to something that he's wanting to bring healing to, wanting to bring strategy or warning to. He may warn us in a dream and it'll shock us. I mean, the scripture says it in Job 33:15. He'll terrorize us in a dream to wake us up to something that is going to harm us or some bad choice we're going to make to stop us from a deadly decision. How good is God to do this for us, right? So a nightmare, what we thought was a nightmare, could be total strategy and total warning to help us. So we've learned not to look at nightmares that way. We've learned, oh my gosh, this is strategy for, you know, the enemy, he'll show up because, you know what? The Lord would only be the one who would show the enemy's plan. The enemy's not going to show you his plan. So the Lord gives you a picture. And the emotion can be tied to it because it's something you may be struggling with. So you just note it. You note it. And you don't have to have the interpretation in that very moment, in that very day. I had a dream that for 10 years, and I'll tell you, I thought it was a nightmare at the time because I didn't know dream interpretation at all. I didn't understand dreams, but I was having dreams. And I saw something that was really very scary. You know, I'm trying to decide if I should tell the dream because it's such a good, what I would have thought, nightmare example. So maybe I'll tell it. I was standing by the side of my house, at the house I live right now, and I knew an angel was behind me. And the angel said, "Look to the west." And I looked, and I saw over the mountains, because the mountains are right west, you know, and I saw four horsemen coming. And I was like, "Oh no, we got to get inside." So I brought everybody inside my house. I don't know who I was with, but I brought everybody in my house. We went upstairs to my bedroom, which is on the third floor in the natural, and my house was on the third floor. Very important in dreams, by the way, what floor you're on. But I was on the third floor, and I was looking out. It was like the wall wasn't there. It was just a window. And I looked out, and I saw total destruction on the land. There wasn't a tree left. There wasn't any. There was like no life on the land. And I saw women. It kind of reminded me of the book of Revelation where you know, there was no place to hide. They were trying to hide in rocks and there was no place to hide. And so I was like, okay, we gotta go. So I got everybody into my car and I had this, you know, gold CRV, which, you know, all of these little colors and things are very important. But I got in. My husband was sitting on my right side. I was the driver of the car. And I'm going to back up, and all of a sudden, one of the horsemen, I knew it was the fourth horseman for some reason. I don't know why I knew that, but it was, and he came around in front of the car, and he went to the Jim's side of the car. Now, this is a little upsetting. He put his hand, he was ginormous. His face looked like, you know, Phantom of the Opera with the black and the white? And he went through the windshield and grabbed Jim by his private parts and said, "I'm cutting off the flow. I'm cutting off the flow." End of dream. I woke up shaking. Now, I shook for 3 days on that dream. I didn't know what to do with that dream. And I went to my pastor, which is a really good thing to do, especially if they know the word, you know. And I went, at the time, my pastors were really prophetic people, you know, in Colorado. They were teaching the prophetic. They were teaching dreams. That's how I got into this whole dream thing. But they didn't really understand it at all. They were like, "There's Jezebel spirit." And I kind of knew it was about a Jezebel spirit because of the, I don't know if you ever saw John Paul Jackson's book and it's got that mask on it, removing the Jezebel spirit or something like that. And I saw that book right away. So, you know, over time as I dealt with the dream, I would just ask the Lord, what was that part of it? And I, you know, when you have a dream like that, I had to look at my own life because I was driving the car, my husband wasn't. Not even Jesus. Who's the driver of your car? Is it Jesus? Is it you? Jim was in the passenger seat. Now, I could look at this corporately, and it is, and, you know, dreams can be personal, and they can be corporate. But, you know, I had to repent for driving the car because that's kind of a control thing. I was controlling where we were going. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing. So it allows, see, the Lord will warn you what you're allowing in your life in that dream. Have I allowed the Jezebel spirit in my life by my controlling ways? I had to look at me first in the dream Because you can look at that dream and go, it's happening, this is what's coming. And maybe that there is some truth to that. There is a Jezebel spirit operating in our nation. But if you look at it first, if you look at a dream like that first, and you check your own heart, check your own soul, and, go, whoa, what part? Because Jesus said, remember, he said, the enemy of my soul is coming, but he has nothing in me, right? What part was I agreeing with in that dream? It was the Jezebel spirit. I was running the show. Who are the people I was with? People in dreams are so interesting because we see people in dreams and we know their names and we know what they were, so we automatically assume that person is that person in the dream. Usually it's not about that person at all. Usually, because most dreams are about ourselves, right? Because the Lord's dealing with our hearts. He's dealing with our souls. He's speaking to our spirits all night while we're sleeping. He's healing, delivering, getting us set free from stuff, or revealing stuff that is hidden, right? So if we look at a dream that way and look at the people in the dream and go, okay, what is their name? It might be meaning their name. It may be what they represent to us in our life. A pastor in your dream could represent Jesus. It could. It may not be about your pastor. It could be, especially if it's good. Jesus is only good. He's always good. He's not going to scare you in a dream. If a pastor scares you in a dream, that's something else. Although sometimes Jesus is scary, because he kind of scared me in that dream dealing with my junk. Now, I do believe that dream was also, as I look at it over the years, I did see it coming, in America, and it's biblical, the four horsemen. So that dream was probably 15 years ago. And when I started seeing stuff coming in America, I was like, oh boy. Because I had cleaned up my heart about that and put my husband in the driver's seat again. I had to do that. That was key. I was out of order. The people in the dream may have been also parts of myself that were broken. So the Lord was showing me that, sometimes when you have dreams with different people, it's because, like Holly was saying, she talked about that mirror, I think it was you saying, the mirror being shattered. So when we're shattered like that, when our soul gets shattered from trauma, abuse, whatever it is, right? Those different parts and pieces can show up in dreams because God wants to bring He wants us to make us whole. He wants to integrate all of our parts, right? So that we're one, we're whole again. That's what He does. And that's why we have to begin to recognize what we're seeing in the dream, because those people can be parts of us. They can be good, or they can be parts that we might want some healing, we might want some deliverance about. Because if you see a person that you really don't like, and you don't like what they're doing, you look and go, is there any of that in me? We have to look at that. Is there any of that in me? Sometimes intercessors, that especially like for churches, if you're an intercessor, you're assigned to that church like you were for your pastor for so many years, you'll have dreams where you'll maybe see some stuff that's going on with him, not to go tell him and freak about and say, yeah, I saw this coming against you. It's for prayer. You just pray. You don't have to bring it to him. If God trusts you to have that assignment, He's going to answer the prayer. You're just there to pray it through, right? So you don't have to go tell everybody your dream. Let's talk about a death dream. You see somebody die in a dream. And you're like, oh, no, I had this happen at the last fire camp. a man came in, and it was an adult fire camp, and the man came in and, you know, he didn't obviously understand dreams very well because he saw somebody in that was at the meeting. He saw them in the coffin, you know, and he's like, oh, I came in and I'm like, now I'm praying for this man because he's dying and, you know, he is older than me. So it all logically makes sense, right, that he would die, you know, that this guy's going to die. So he's like, I'm interceding. But he went and told the man. It's like, okay, let's traumatize this guy and get him all scared because you had a dream and you didn't ask God what it meant. So we talked about it, and I said, well, you know, what does he mean to you? Well, you know, he's got a problem with this, got a problem with that. I said, do you struggle with that problem? Well, I guess I do struggle with that problem. I said, do you think the Lord wants to kill that part? Or not kill. Put it to rest. Bury that part. You know where we say we're going to kill the old man? Yeah. Yeah. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Yeah, kill him. Kill that old man. So you can see somebody die in a dream, and it could be a picture of what the Lord wants to take and remove in our own soul, right? Does that make sense? That's why we always want to ask him first. Don't run to the person and go, I saw you. Now, there could be a death dream where you know somebody is, maybe the Lord is going to bring them home and you're going to pray them through the transition. That could totally happen too. But you don't, that's another intercession dream. There's intercession dreams where God's calling you to pray for this situation. But look always first, because it can be the meaning of the person's name. You look up their name, because there's some names that are like, I heard one last week, and I was like, Lord, how could anybody? And it was kind of a common name. It's not coming to my mind right now. But when we looked up the name of that person, I was like, that is like a negative name. And like, but that name showed up in a dream, and it was totally something that the Lord wanted to deliver. I wish I could remember it in this moment, but if he brings it to me, I'll tell you, but it's not coming right now. So there's death dreams that, you know, we just, one, ask, you know. Steph's got that sheet. I don't know if anybody was at fire camp, and it says, ask, like, it says it about 50 times on the sheet. That's the most important thing. And you wait. You wait on the Lord. You pray into it. You don't have to run, and you don't have to have the interpretation that day, because it can be a time thing. Now, can you see the future in the dreams? Absolutely, you can see what God wants to do in your future. And you pray into it, and you again, write it down. I'm trying to think of an example, but I don't have one right now, so I'll keep going. Well, actually, I do. I'm going to tell this dream because I just had it last week, and it was so good. And I do believe it's a personal dream, and I do believe it's a corporate dream. But I was standing in front of my house, and in front of my house in the natural, I have a lot of flowers. And I'm kind of the only person on the street that kind of goes nuts with the flowers, because everything actually died when they planted everything when we moved in 17 years ago. So every year I'd plant something new. So my garden is really pretty. And so in the dream, I was standing in front of my garden, and there was a man in front of me, and he said to me, oh my gosh, there's so much light coming from your house. But I knew he was drawn to the flowers. And this is funny, he was a gay man, and I knew he was gay. This is why I think it's also corporate. So, and then I said to him, that's interesting. Three people have come to me today and said the same thing. End of dream. It was just like, that's all I said. Three people have come and told me the same thing. And I could see the light coming. I could see the flowers in full array. And this is a really easy one, because a house in a dream can, who's the temple of the Holy Spirit? We're the house. We're the light of the world. The light comes through us. And in the dream, I could see the light coming so strong through the windows. It was like almost like, whoa, you're right. That is really bright. And the flowers, Rosalie, I prayed with, we did a dream, and then we prophesied over you. And all I could see in front of Rosalie was flowers. I don't know if you guys were here. And it was like fields of flowers. And you know, think about flowers in the natural. They're so beautiful. They attract flying things, hummingbirds, birds, all the bees, all the things that even bring multiplication. They smell nice. Their fragrance is beautiful. And that was in front of the house. In the front of a house can be about your future. The backyard can be about your past. So the front is our, you know, what the Lord is wanting to bring into our future. So I told you guys, receive this dream, because it's yours if you want it, that people will be attracted, even people that are struggling with their identity. A gay man in the dream could be somebody who doesn't know who he is. And in dreams, by the way, when you see a woman or a man, doesn't necessarily, because in the spirit, there's no gender, right? Because when, you know, there's no marriage in heaven, because, you know, it's like, we're not going to be doing the same things in heaven, right? So, you know, there's no marriage in heaven, so we're spirit beings. So even as the flowers and the all the stuff is growing, because that is who we are. We're life. Flowers are life. And we water them, and we nurture them, and you're such a nurturer, and a lover of people. You sowed into me with your words. Yes, he sowed in, but who can he use? He can only use us. He can only use us, and that's what we do for people. And so that light coming out to reach the world, and they're going to be attracted. They were attracted to the flower. These three people I knew were attracted to the light and the life. And that's who we are as the body of Christ. That's who we are to be. That's our future. That's actually now. That's it's in our word, even though it is, you know, I just believe that the Lord wants me to agree for that dream for me and for the body of Christ. That's his church. So you may see things that are coming. I had a little girl in the dream class. She said to me, can you actually see things before it happens? And I said, oh, yeah. Especially if it's a warning, you know. And she said, oh, yeah, we were on Lake Powell. Is the mom here that?
Yeah.
She said, we were going out in the boat that day, but the night before, I had a dream that there was a terrible storm, and we were in the boat, and the boat went down, and, you know, and it was, so she woke up really afraid. And so she went to her mom, and they prayed together. Well, they still went out. They didn't know the storm was coming. Now think about this in our own lives too, okay? They didn't know the storm was coming, but they prayed together for protection before they even knew a storm was coming. And the storm came, but they were protected. The Lord protected them during the storm. They were still in the storm. But the Lord protected them in the storm because he gave them the warning first. When we pray, we can stop the plan of the enemy. You know, it's so simple that the Lord would show you a dream, and if you pay attention and just don't think it's the pizza you ate the night before, by the way, we were eating cheese last night, so we were having, so we get some dreams, because Adrian, one of the authors of Divinity Code, said, I looked into the chemistry of that, and cheese actually can cause you to dream. So when you say you had a pizza dream, it could be true. But it doesn't mean you don't pay attention to the dream, and it doesn't mean that you don't make it, it's not like for real, right? It's like the Lord isn't speaking to you, because he's always speaking. We just have to turn on our listening ears. You know, we don't think we're seers. We don't think we see in the spirit. What's a dream? You're seeing in the spirit. So do we have a seer's gift? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have to, you know, we absolutely, it's not about, oh my gosh, I have a seer's gift, I'm so anointed. It's about Jesus is just showing you stuff that is going on in the spirit. Because he, and listen, that scripture, I think it's Habakkuk, is that it? 3:7 God always shows his prophets before he does something. Amos. 3:7 Is it Amos? Yeah. Habakkuk is write down the vision, which is important too. Write down the vision. Yeah, make it plain. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason that came to me, right? So here's the thing. The best way for me to teach is to model it. And I know we have a couple dreams. I know we have a couple dreams that were had last. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. One was a repeated dream, because this is important. When you have a repeated dream, the Lord's really trying to get a message to you. Pay attention. You know, I had that dream, remember I told you about, I had the dream that I kept falling in the mat. I was being chased and I kept falling. In my life, that was naturally happening, but I actually didn't have a safe person to go to tell. Listen, if the church knows and understands what dreams are about, we can help people. The only reason I had such big groups in the jail wasn't because I had a good lesson. I never had a lesson. I tried to do a lesson, never worked. It was because they would pull in each other's, they would pull in the ladies because she interprets dreams. It is such a tool. If we can start to understand our own dreams, you'll start to understand. Well, the more you know the word, the more you'll understand dreams. It just goes together. And we're all in the word. We all hear Holy Spirit, whether you want to believe it or not. We all do. It's just, will we listen? And so that's how we can help others. Because you might be standing literally in a, or sitting in a restaurant and overhear somebody's, especially at Starbucks. I don't go to Starbucks a lot, but, you know, sometimes when we travel and there isn't anything else and we really need coffee, you know. But now there's opening up a bunch of places, but still, it's a really great evangelism tool because you can hear a dream and say, oh my gosh, I just overheard you. Your dream. But you know what they are doing? They're going to psychics to get their dream. They're not going to the church. They're going to psychics and mediums and all these things. That's why they have these big fairs and they all go and they have, you know, they're doing the psychic thing and they're calling in familiar spirits instead of the Spirit of God. So we have to be prepared. I mean, you know, and the cool part is, if you look at the first dream in the Bible, is to an unbeliever. Just look at dreams in the Bible. They're so awesome. Because God always speaks. And he speaks to unbelievers. Is he going to draw an unbeliever with a dream? And if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to interpret that dream. You have the word and the spirit in you. You have the ability, and God wants to use us to do this for people. So let's practice. I don't know if I want to start, which one I want to start with. Who else had a dream last night?
Oh,
short one? I'm going to start with you. Can you come up? Yeah, do you? No. Oh, I'm sorry, Rosalie. I didn't see you. Yeah. Oh, we'll do this. Hopefully, I won't be too long-winded. So we could do. Okay.
Good morning. Okay, so it was a very short dream. I actually woke up at 5 o'clock this morning to use the restroom, and I'm like, well, no dream? And, you know, to the Lord. And then I went back to sleep, and I did have a little dream. I saw myself standing holding a baby in my arms, and I was near a road, and all of a sudden I saw a van, and I recognized the van, and the couple that was in it was the couple that I had been in ministry with for the last 12 years before God moved me here. And the woman, her name's Mary, and she was like my spiritual mother. And so for many years, we did a lot of ministry together. So that was who I saw. They pulled over, got out, and Mary actually took the baby into her hands and was sitting holding the baby. And I was just so happy. And also, I recognized that my mother was there, and my mother doesn't understand me in the spiritual. She's a wonderful mother, but my family doesn't get me. So she was in the dream, and she wanted to hold the baby too, and I woke up. And it has been 3 years since I physically have talked to that couple, and so I'm hoping God will give me some revelation on if that might be some good news coming down the pipeline. To be able to talk to them again. The Lord severed that relationship because there was some healing that needed to be done on both sides.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can repeat. No, I'm going to see if I, unless somebody has it really clearly, can repeat the dream. Because you want to repeat the dream. A lot of times there's more information when we repeat the dream. Did anybody get in enough to repeat it? Oh, good. Come on, Dusty. All right. You know what? I'm going to move this. You can sit. Oh, you? Okay. Oh, here. I have your. Okay.
So your dream was that you were standing on the side of the road holding a new baby, and you see your old ministry partners in a van, and they pull over and they come over to you and they see your baby, and you hand your baby to the lady whose name is Mary, and that your mom is also by you, and your mom wanted to hold your baby, and the dream ended.
You got it.
So in dreams, emotions are really important. So we're going to ask, did you have any emotion with all this?
I felt very happy when I saw Mary holding the baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I want you to
be honest with you, I thought when my mother was trying to say, she said, I want to hold the baby. I thought, ooh. And, you know, I went into kind of protective mode.
Okay.
Because I felt like the baby was from God, and my mother doesn't understand these things. I don't believe that she's evil, but I don't think she knows about what's going on.
Okay. Holly's got...
I just have some pieces, and correct me, because Janet's much better at dream interpretation, but God has dealt with me a lot about babies for years and years, and I'm more of a visionary than a dreamer, but babies, this baby, I believe, is your ministry, represents your ministry. And the fact that Mary is holding the baby is that, to me, maybe because of my past, so again, correct me if I'm wrong, but for me, God showed me that he wanted to birth something that was as pure as Jesus, that it was a ministry of Jesus and not of me. And Mary, to me, represents that this child it's really Jesus in the earth, right? And so Mary, and you were so happy when Mary was holding the baby, because it's really like God is saying, this is my baby in the earth. And I personally think that your mom may be the church saying, well, I want to steward that. And even though we love our mom, we love the church, I'm thinking really it's not really hers to steward. It's, right. You know, that God is talking to you about the, how do you steward the Son of God, right? How do you, how did Mary and Joseph raise Jesus? How do you raise Jesus, right? And so it's a great holiness, and it's a purity of stewarding something that's holy. And so it's very important, you know, even once the baby comes forth, which I have a feeling is near but hasn't happened yet. I mean, you've had ministry, I'm not saying that, but I feel like it's God is saying, as this baby comes forth in fullness, I believe, am I going too much?
No.
I believe he's just saying, be very careful to steward where you allow this baby and who you allow to hold it, even physically where you might hold your ministry. Okay. That makes sense?
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes, that totally.
The only thing I do want to add to that, because I feel like that was right, and it was funny because the Lord said, Holly's got it. I love that. He just like moves around. So the other part I wanted to add was, and I ask a question about this, the van with the people, your old friend, they were driving that other van. Yeah. They were in that other van. Yeah. See, it's interesting in dreams because you can see it. Sometimes you can see the past. It's not necessarily about the future or that coming back, but there may have been something in that when you were with them that maybe, you know, because pregnancies can take a while, you know, and what God put in you when you were with them and even through that relationship, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're to be part of that, but there was, I just sensed that even, because they were off the road. They weren't on the road. They pulled off the road, right?
I didn't necessarily see them pull off. I saw the van, and the next thing I know, they were with me. So they had gotten out of the van. But I didn't see them, like, pull over. I didn't.
Yeah, and you were in a ministry together at one point.
Very much so. We lived in a, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there may have been something that happened in that time with them. Because that those people could be a picture of time when something, you know, you might have been impregnated with something that you carried for a while that is being birthed in you or already is birthed in you that you're holding, and the mom wants. I knew right away the mom is a picture. A lot of times moms can be the picture of the church. Oh yeah, please.
My question is, oh wait. Was there any, what was going on with the husband? He was just there.
He was just there.
Okay. And you were just aware of him, but no.
Correct. Okay.
Yeah. Mary's husband. Yeah, because you could in a dream, it's you know, again, it can be in that dream the name Mary and the, you know, she birthed Jesus, and a pure, it was very pure. It was Holy Spirit impregnated her. So he can use the name as, you know, and even put that he put something in you. You know, the Lord always brings redemption. So where there was a broken relationship or something that happened, God can bring something good, even though, you know, you'd like maybe restoration, and it may be restoration, we don't know. But in that time period, the Lord could have put something in you even and bring redemption to that whole situation, you know?
I believe God separated us because he wanted us to be able to each go into our destinies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had us together for 12 years and we did some powerful things for the kingdom, but then it was time to separate out. And, you know, if he wants to bring them back into relation, I would love that. But that's not dependent. I don't make move on them coming or not coming.
Right.
I move on when he
and
says.
And see, that's really important because you could take that dream and go, God's doing this. And it may not be what he's doing at all. It may be a picture of the timing and what the Mary represents. And of course, the man, the husband, could actually be the Lord, the Father, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know. So you're seeing them, but it cannot be about them. It could be about timing. It could be about her name, Mary, the pure Holy Spirit impregnating.
She's probably the purest person I know on this earth.
Hmm.
So if there's anybody that's as close to the Lord, I would pick her. So for her to be holding the baby was, like you said, it was a confirmation that God is saying, I've birthed this pure thing, and I'm not going to let anybody else touch this.
Could Mary be a picture of you? The way the Lord sees
maybe
you?
Maybe with what he's doing, because it surely wasn't me years ago.
But also, I mean, let me just,
yeah.
I'm just going to add this. When you're when you're stewarding a baby that's from God, okay, and especially one of this is to be pure. And so, in a way, it's, you know, forget like what, it's not about the natural you that has changed. It's more about Mary was used, she was chosen out of all the women on the earth. She's about 15. But I've got to think she and Joseph must have had really pure hearts, because she was picked because God had to be very careful who stewarded this ministry that was going to change the whole world. If God has given me lots of stuff about how do you raise the Son of God? How did they do that? How did they even know how? Because they were just human. They didn't even really get it.
Yeah.
And yet they were pure enough. And so Mary's a picture of the purity of heart, I believe, that God picked to steward. And when you said God's not going to let, but I think he was actually telling you, don't let, you know, like be careful who touches this child. Because people, when you have something from God, there's an endless line of people who want to take it and make it theirs, okay? And you're stewarding and saying, no, I love you, Mom, but you need to hold the baby and steward it as well as you can. Amen.
Rosalie.
What I thought was very important were you were by yourself. And the Lord says you're going to be a self-starter in this.
Mm. I've been by myself for 21 years.
Oh, can we pray for you before we end?
Oh, we're not done?
I just wanted to, let's just pray.
Sorry, I didn't realize we were still going.
Oh, it's totally okay. Yeah, I just want to pray. Let's all agree for what the Lord is birthing and the purity of it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just come in agreement right now. Holly, do you want to pray?
Yeah,
I just feel like you got something for her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah. So just receive. That's why we put the chair here. No, you don't want to sit down. Okay. Okay.
Papa, this, we don't know all things about the dream, but I do believe you're saying that there's something coming forth, and I know you're doing this throughout the body, that you're bringing forth facets of your personality. Each baby mm-hmm. will be different, but it'll be a piece of you that is pure. And what this baby represents will be different than what that baby represents, but you're trying to bring something so pure that won't be touched by human mm-hmm. hands. And so, Father, I pray a protection over this ministry, this child, this baby that you're bringing into the earth that will do such a pure work, and I pray that nothing will mm-hmm. ever taint it. No deception can ever come in. And that, Father, when mom tries to come and wants to hold the baby, that you'll just give my sister great discernment and the ability to, you know, just walk in love but still protect and steward the purity of this ministry that is being raised up. Because Lord, one thing you've said is it isn't our ministry, it's yours. Mm-hmm. We are simply stewarding it. And so I pray for the protection of this ministry as it comes forth and for the duration, all the way unto the end, all the way till it's time to come home, either because Jesus comes or we're ready to come, that this child will never be able to be stolen or tainted or deceived, that no wicked hands will be able to take it out. Mm-hmm. No one will be able to usurp authority. Mm-hmm. And Father, I bind up those that are controlling, that would try to control. And yeah. We say no. And that she'll have the gifting to operate in gentleness even when somebody big and strong and loud is trying to control. She'll just be able to gently take that baby and move along where they can't get at her, and it can never be harmed, and she can never be harmed. And I thank you for increasing her discernment every day so that she can see it before it comes, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.